Corinthians chapter number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We had just a great turnout yesterday for the parade, and the Lord held off the weather, and we're very thankful for that. We had prayed that it wouldn't pour the rain on us, and it didn't, and thank the Lord for that. Had a good turnout. There's a lot of people out, not as many as there has been in past years, but still there was a lot of people, and we gave out gospel tracts with a candy cane and church information and the gospel message on it, so that's a great opportunity. And I was talking to one of the pastors of another float. That sounds funny to say that, but another church had a float in the parade. That's what I mean. And I was talking to him, and I said, "Boy, it's good to see other churches out here and taking part." And he said, "Yes." He said, "We wanted to do that." He said, "We seen your float last year and decided we wanted to do something." I said, "That's wonderful." I said, "I wish every church in the county would have a float in the Christmas parade. That's what it's about. It's about Christ." And there were several churches that had floats. So a few years ago, how we got started in it, Kim went to the Christmas parade, and there was nothing to do with Christ in the Boone Christmas parade. And she come home talking about that and how the no churches, nothing. And so the next year we put a float in, and then we've done that for 4 years maybe, 3 years, 4 years, something. Every year there's been more and more. So that's a blessing. And I appreciate everybody's effort in that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read all 13 verses in the chapter. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So let's just start there. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you'd help as we look into thy word today. I pray for liberty. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, stir our hearts, Lord, about the subject of charity, how important it is. Lord, more important than all the other gifts, God, we need to have charity in our hearts, in our lives, in the church. I thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given to us. And we have many things that we're praying about, people that are sick, people that are away from you, people that are lost. Lord, we remember them today. We ask you to touch and move, and we pray for our country as well, as we realize there's a lack of charity all throughout our nation. So, Lord, as we come today, we pray you'd help. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. I pray for liberty. I pray for freedom to preach. I pray for power from Thee. We'll thank You for all that You do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 1. The Bible said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And last week we preached out of chapter number 12 on the subject of gifts, spiritual gifts. And we said if the Lord would allow us, we'd go along and maybe preach a little series on gifts. And so we're going to try to preach today out of chapter number 13. I realize we just dealt with about 7 or 8 verses last week, but chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, they all go together. But today we want to think about the subject of charity. And as we think about the situation in the world today, there's not a lot of charity in the world. When we're talking about charity, we're talking about Christian love. And that's what the word charity means. It is distinct from the love of the world. It means love, but it's Christian love. It's God's kind of love. I was looking yesterday in the newspaper, and there's in the editorial section, there's the political cartoons. And there's a cartoon in the newspaper yesterday. I'll just describe it for you. It had a volcano, and it's getting ready to explode. It's all swollen up, and the smoke and lava's pouring out of the top of it. And on that volcano, it says, hate. And then there's a sign down at the bottom that says civilization. And then there's a picture of all the people there. They're running away from the volcano, and somebody yells out and says, it's going to blow. And that's a picture of what's going on in the world today. Middle East, places in America, Ferguson, New York City, all this protesting and all the violence and all these things. There's a lot of hatred in the world. And you know, that's nothing new, that there's hatred in the world. Today, some people may not know it, but today is Pearl Harbor Day, the day 73 years ago that Pearl Harbor was attacked. And over 2,000 service men and women died during the attack on Pearl Harbor. I've been doing some study on my radio broadcast about the events that surrounded that time period. There was a Japanese pilot, actually the one that led the attack. His name was Mitsuo Fuchida, and he was compelled by a bitterness and a hatred for America for things that happened during World War I. And that was his motivation to get to the place where he was. And then I read about an American soldier. And when he heard about the attack on Pearl Harbor, his name was Jacob DeShazer. He vowed to get revenge. He did everything he could to volunteer and get in the war as quickly as possible. And you know, across the whole nation, there was an influx of men that joined the army, joined the navy to get in the fight. You know, we're going to get revenge for what is done for us. So hatred in the world's not a new thing. And ill will one towards another is not a new thing. It's something that has been since the beginnings of time, when Cain killed Abel there, had the disagreement and the first murder that ever took place. Hatred. But we're going to look at something today that is far greater than that. And if we would let it, it would help us. God's people ought to be led, guided, directed by charity, which is Christian love. We ought to be different than the world is. D.L. Moody said about this chapter, he said this ought to be read in church once a week. Once a week we ought to read this chapter in the church. Now, the context, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, is talking about gifts. Look at chapter 12, verse number 1 again. It said over there, now concerning spiritual gifts. Look at chapter 14, Talking about these three chapters go together. Chapter 14, verse number 1, the Bible said, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So he's talking about gifts in these verses. Look at chapter 12, verse 31. The last verse in chapter number 12. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. In chapter 13, that leads into chapter number 13. What is the more excellent way? Or we might say it like this, the gift worth more. The gift worth more than all the rest is charity. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. If we think about charity, we could talk about the greatest of these. So charity, these are a whole chapter. This is sometimes called the love chapter in the Bible. So there's a whole chapter dealing with the subject of charity, and it says that charity is the greatest of these. That'd be a good title for the message, the greatest of these. Gifts reveal a manifestation of God's power, but charity reveals a manifestation of God's nature. You see, gifts can be mimicked. They can be copied. They can be faked. You look back there in the Old Testament, and Moses went down there and he had the rod of God in his hand, and he told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And he threw his rod down on the ground, and it turned into a serpent and scared everybody to death. I'd like to see that, wouldn't you, when he threw that rod down and it turned into a snake? I'd been on top of a chair somewhere. That'd have scared most people to death. And then Moses, he reached down and he took it by the tail and it turned back into a rod. This is an example of the power of God. God sent me down here to tell you to let his people go. Here's proof. And he threw it down. The power of God. But if you study in the Bible, you know today that the magicians, they were able to copy that what Moses was able to do. There were several things that they could mimic the power of God. It was not the power of God, it's the power of the devil, but they could copy to a certain point what Moses was able to do. But charity is not like that. You cannot copy, you cannot fake having charity, real charity in your heart. Now, if somebody feigns to have charity, they act like they have love, but they really don't, it's easy to spot a counterfeit. It's easy to spot that as not being genuine, not being real. The greatest of these is charity. Charity is the true litmus test of a real personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're truly saved by the grace of God, we ought to have charity in our hearts. We ought to have charity in our lives. It's not something that you can fake. You can be religious, you can know the Bible, you can be a church member, you can sing in the choir, you can witness to other people, but the Bible says in 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And so you can do a lot of things, but if you have hatred towards your brother, God says you're a liar. How can you love God who you've never seen if you don't even love your brother who you see all the time? Charity is a real test in our life whether or not we even know the Lord. So I want to point out some things in chapter 13 about charity. First of all, there is the preeminence of charity. And he begins to discuss this. He said in verse 31, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There's a way above and beyond everything he's been talking about. And he said in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So what he's saying there, you can speak the language of the angels. You can have all the eloquence that a man can have. You can speak multiple languages. You can be gifted in the area of languages and speech and all of these things. But he said, if you have not charity, you're just a bunch of noise. You're just a bunch of noise. You are become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now that piano, boy, you get somebody that can sit down there and play that thing. Beautiful music, pleasing to our ears, comes out of it. Isn't that a blessing? But let a youngin' come by and just go banging on it. It takes about 2 seconds to get on your nerves. Same instrument, but a different outcome. And so that's what Paul is saying here. If you do not have charity, you may be the most gifted speech giver that ever was. If you don't have charity, you're just a bunch of noise. And it's not going to amount to anything or be a blessing to anybody. That's what he's saying in verse number 1. So you can see how important that charity is. So what if you're a good speaker? So what if you have a great gifts as an orator? If you don't have charity, you're just a bunch of noise. Like a few Christmases ago, I thought, well, I'll get to, I don't know if we got Noah and Abigail one or just one of them, but you know, these little recorders, little flutes, if somebody can learn to play that, they're pretty. We had them when I was in elementary school in about the first or second grade. So we got them for Christmas. They never learned to play them. They just went around blowing on them, driving me crazy. So wonder what happened to them things. They got gone somehow. You know how that is. So just a bunch of noise if you don't have love. If you don't have charity, that's what Paul's saying. Verse number 2, he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, prophecy, we're talking here, or what Paul is talking about in the early church, they had prophets. They had some that could really, not like a false prophet, but could really predict what was going to happen. They would say thus and thus according to the word of God, according to the word of the Lord, and it would happen. And so he's talking about the gift that a prophet would have. And he's to have the ability to speak the word of God and something to come to pass. That's what he's talking about. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, can you imagine to be able to understand all of the revelation of the word of God? I mean, I'll be honest, there's things I don't understand. If I don't understand, I'll just tell you, I don't know. I'll have to get back with you on that. But Paul said, if you knew all there was to know about the word of God, if you knew all the mysteries, if you knew all the prophecies, if you had the book of Revelation at your fingertips, and boy, you know, you've been around some people like that. They can just quote scripture, and you can just ask them anything, and they know it. They know it. They're very thorough, and they've studied the word of God. He said, if you have all knowledge... All knowledge. What if you had Bible survey at your fingertips? And all them big long words that they have in school, eschatology and soteriology and theology and, you know, all them things. And if you had a big long title at the end of your name, and man, you just knew more, seemed like, about the Bible than anybody else. If you had all those things. But look what he says in the last part. And have not charity, he said, I'm nothing. Would you agree with me this morning that charity is important? It's very, very important that we have charity. He goes on and he talks about, and though I have all faith. What if you had the faith of a George Mueller? You read some of these Christian biographies about some of these people that, boy, they just done things for the Lord, and you read about them and you say, boy, that's amazing. He lived in England and he operated orphanages by faith. You read these great stories about how they didn't have no milk and they prayed and they said, God, we need some milk for the children. And there's a knock at the door and the milkman, his horse and wagon is broke down. And he said, I'm not going to be able to make my deliveries. Come out here and get it. And boy, God just answered. And man, they had faith. I read about great missionaries like J. Hudson Taylor, and when nobody went to China, he had a desire in his heart as a young man to go to China. Nobody would support him. Nobody believed it was even possible, but he said, God told me to go to China. And he went to China and established the China Inland Mission, and for years and years, there's a great work in the country of China, and the church in China today can trace its roots back to the work of a missionary that nobody would support. And everybody said it was impossible to do. And to the Western world, that was a closed area of the world. And yet they went. They had all faith. All faith. And God answered that faith. He said, what if I had faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity? I am nothing. Do you see how important it is to have charity? You ever seen those bumper stickers that said, live simply that others may simply live? We see a lot of that around in a mountain town. You might think that's sort of a tree hugger motto, but you know that's actually a Quaker motto. The Quakers come up with that, live simply that others may live. That's a lofty desire. Somebody would sacrifice on the behalf of others. Paul is talking about that as well. He said in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, what if I deny myself so I can give something to somebody else? What if I live the life of a missionary that would give up everything so that I could go and so that I could help somebody else? Look on down, he said, and though I give my body to be burned, what if I'm even a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be the ultimate sacrifice? That you'd give your body to be burned for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what he said, if I go to that extent and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You can line up eloquence and prophecy and knowledge and faith and sacrifice and even martyrdom, and you can line all those things up and just put a big fat zero beside of it if you don't have charity. But if you have charity, that's just one thing. That makes all the other things multiplied and worth a whole lot more. Charity, real charity he's talking about, it's above all these other things that are mentioned. If I have not charity, I'm nothing. I'm just a bunch of noise. Just a bunch of banging on a piano. I'm just blowing on an instrument, but I'm not making any melody coming out of it. It's not worth anything. So we think about the preeminence of charity, how important it is. But then we read verses 4 through 8 and we find the practice of charity. Now, you can talk all day, all you want to, about theology. But we need some liveology. We need some practice in what we preach. I was going to school the other night and there was a fellow on there and he sounded like Rush Limbaugh or somebody, but it's on a Christian radio station. I thought, what is he talking about? I don't understand. And he's talking all this, and he said, well, we talk about theology, and we talk about this, and you know, all this intellectual stuff, but I'm telling you, if what you believe and what you live doesn't get down where the rubber meets the road, and if there's not some reality and charity and love behind it, it's not worth anything. It's just a bunch of talk. So we got to have the practice of charity. Let's read verse 4. He said, charity suffereth long. Do you know there's some suffering involved with being a Christian? That's the first thing he mentioned. Charity suffereth long. You ought to underline that. Charity suffereth long. A Christian can suffer and be kind simultaneously. He said, charity suffereth long and is kind. But charity suffereth long. It's what the Bible said. Charity never wears out. Charity never comes to the, and I'm guilty, boy, I'm just preaching to myself. And if anybody else gets anything out of it, that's just an added bonus. But do you ever come to your life's nerve and, boy, you just took all you can take and you can't take no more? That's not charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It's what the Bible says. Charity suffers long and is kind. There ought to be a kindness about us. We ought to be characterized by that. Charity suffereth long and is kind. It says, charity envieth not. To be envious is to be jealous. There shouldn't be jealousy among the children of God. We shouldn't be envious of the church down the road or the preacher that maybe is well known or preaches a lot of meetings or everybody knows who they are and what they're doing. Who cares? I say, praise the Lord. Like I told the preacher yesterday, I said, I'm glad. I wish every church in the county would have a float in the parade. That's good. If we ever do anything just so that we can be seen, shame on us. There's nothing about us. Shouldn't be jealous of what God is doing in the heart and in the lives so somebody can sing and they're blessed in their ministry. Praise the Lord. Shouldn't be envious about that. Shouldn't be jealous one of another. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. That vaunteth not, it means this. It means to boast about oneself. It literally means to make a parade. To be the top dog. To show off. I was studying this yesterday morning and then I went to the parade. We had a float in the parade. I'm thinking about this, and it made me, when we got out there, look at our float, trying to take real life and apply it to the Word of God. Did we do that to be seen, or did we do that to get the gospel out? I think and I hope and I pray and I believe with all my heart, we do what we do to get the gospel out. But I'd been studying this. The Bible said, charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't parade itself. It doesn't boast about itself. So I got out there and I looked at the float. Is that honoring to the Lord? Better be honoring to the Lord. I believe it was honoring to the Lord. We had several people that said they enjoyed it and it's a blessing and that's what Christmas is all about. You got a manger and giving out the gospel and all of those things. But we had in the back of Brother Rodney's pickup, we had a American flag and underneath it we had Blessings of Liberty. That's the radio broadcast advertised. So I thought that looked pretty good. I wanted a picture of it. But I thought to myself, is that prideful? I'd hate for anybody to think it that I thought anything of myself because I'm nothing. And I know more than anybody else I'm nothing. But I wanted a picture of it. Kim said, get up in the back of the truck and stand beside of it. I thought, I don't know if I want to or not. What if somebody seen me do that and thought, boy, he thinks he's something. But she said, get up in the back of the truck. Take a picture. So I jumped up in the back of the truck and there's a hay bale in there and I was going to step across it and get beside the sign. And some of you already know what happened yesterday. I stepped on that hay bale and my feet shot out from under me and down I went in the back of that truck. And everybody's so kind and compassionate at Mount Lebanon. I jumped up and I said, I'm okay, I'm all right. I heard Sister Shirley say, did you hurt my pickup? That's what she said. Nobody said, are you all right or anything? If you think you're something, boy, the Lord's got a sense of humor, doesn't he? He knows how to get us down where we need to be. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't say, look at me, look at me. It is not puffed up in verse number 4. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. That means it doesn't have the big head. It doesn't think it's something when it doesn't think we're something when we're nothing. There's three kinds of pride. There's pride of race. Oh, look at us. We're Americans. Look how God's blessed us. God bless the USA. Wave the flag. All these other countries. Kill them all. Let God sort it out. You ever seen bumper stickers like that? Is that the attitude we ought to have? No, sir. There's pride of race. There's pride of face. Look at me, I'm white. Look at me, I'm black. The Bible said that in Jesus Christ, we're neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's pride of grace. Look at me, I'm a Baptist. Look at me. I've got a suit on. Look at me. I'm the preacher. Look at me. I'm going to church. That's the worst of all. That holier than thou attitude, boy, that turns people off. We're nothing. Just sinners saved by the grace of God. We ought to thank Him. We ought to praise Him. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be the worst of the worst. Is not puffed up. Verse number 5. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That means that charity is not rude. It is not crude. It is not vulgar. It is not indecent. Charity is kind. Charity is courteous. Christians ought to be the most gentlemanly. Is that a word? We ought to have the best manners. We ought to be gentlemen and gentlewomen. What's the word for a woman gentleman? We ought to have manners. We ought to express that before the world. That's what the Bible says. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Not out for number one. We ought to be out for others. Is not easily provoked is what it says. Are you easily provoked? How dare them? You ever had that attitude? Can't believe they said that to me. Well, what makes you so special? Not easily provoked. I have a reputation for picking on my children. I know what the Bible says, not to provoke your children to wrath. Just provoke them close. Makes them tough. We ought not to be easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You ever think evil of others? Think charity doesn't have a blacklist. Charity's not out to get revenge for others and what they've done or said or whatever the case might be. Verse number 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. What makes you happy? What makes you rub your hands and say, oh boy, when we see sin and wickedness in the world, we ought not to rejoice in that. Amen. It's not that we're better than anybody else, but what is wrong is wrong. Shouldn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Ought to be happy of the Word of God and good things. Well, I tell you, I was encouraged at the parade yesterday, and you're always concerned about how things will be received. Is people going to throw rotten apples at you or tomatoes or something like that? But goodness, if I was going to a Christmas parade, I would expect there would be something about Christ in it. But I was encouraged. There was a great many that waved and said, Merry Christmas. Boy, our children, they did a great job. And they, Merry Christmas the whole time. And people waved. That's encouraging. Praise the Lord. I rejoice in that. That's good. Verse number 7 said, beareth all things. The Bible says that charity will cover a multitude of sins. Bear, and there's a lot to bear in this life as we go through. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Do you think Christians ought to be optimistic or pessimistic? You know, a lot of times we're guilty of being pessimistic. We got a dark outlook on things, just in general, or at least we have a reputation for that. But if we have charity, the Bible says charity hopeth all things, believeth all things. According to the Word of God, we ought to be optimistic. Endureth all things. Verse number 8, the Bible says charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I think about this as we move on. I think about the picture of charity. If we wanted to see what charity looked like, I mean in the flesh, walking and living and breathing, what would charity look like? Well, wouldn't look like me. Wouldn't look like you. It looked like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what you can do with verses 4 through 8? And I'm not changing or harming the Scripture in any way, but you can take verses 4 through 8 and you can substitute Jesus Christ for where it says charity. And if you do that, you'll have a perfect picture of what charity looks like. If you go back to verse 4, Jesus Christ suffereth long. He was kind. Jesus Christ envied not, vaunted not himself. He wasn't puffed up. He did not behave unseemly. He sought not his own. He was not easily provoked. He thought no evil. He did not rejoice in iniquity, but he rejoiced in the truth. He bore all things, believed all things, hoped all things, endured all things. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that came to the world, and the world hated Him. And the world took Him, and they tried Him, and they spat upon Him, and they plucked His beard out, and they humiliated Him, and they gambled for His clothes, and they did all these things to Him, hung Him on a cross. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's the picture of charity. If you want to know what charity looks like, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 31 and 3, the Bible said, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. The Bible said in 1 John 4 and 8 that God is love. That's a picture. You want to see what charity looks like? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at His life. There's the picture of charity. There is the permanence of charity. If you look in verse number 8, it said, charity never faileth. Look at verse number 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Faith and hope will one day pass away. But charity will never pass away. One day, we will no longer have to live by faith. One day, we will see our Lord and Savior face to face, and we will be in His presence forevermore, and we'll never be separated, and we will realize all the hope and all the dream that we ever had. We'll have to live by faith. Be nothing else to hope for. I mean, you have it all. But throughout the ages, as they roll on and on, charity will go on and on. And we will praise Him and love Him for all of eternity because He first loved us. It's going to be a different world one of these days. It's going to be based on love. I was telling you at the beginning of the message about the Mr. Fushida and Jacob DeShazer and how they started in the World War II with hatred for their enemy. But both of those men got saved by the grace of God. One, while he was a prisoner of war held by Japan, and Mr. Fushida, after the war, when Jacob DeShazer went back to Japan because he got saved by the grace of God. And he said, if God spares my life, I'll come back to Japan as a missionary. And God spared his life. And he went back. And he wrote a tract that said, I was a prisoner. I was a prisoner during the war. Mr. Fushita got a copy of that. He called it a leaflet, and he read the story of Jacob de Shazer. And what touched his heart so much was that he said that this man had love for people that he had hated once upon a time. And he didn't know what love was, but he said the love changed his life and changed his mind and changed his heart. And he said, as I read the Bible, I met the Christ. It's the love that got to him. Love will never, never go away. It's preeminent. The picture is the Lord Jesus Christ. The permanence of charity. Charity will win over when talent and education and eloquence and everything else, and you can debate and argue with people, but you'll never win anybody to the Lord by winning a debate with them. If you want to win somebody to the Lord, you're going to have some charity in your heart. And in your life, and you're going to have to suffer long because they might say something to make you mad. They might want to see you blow your top. They'd love to see you just lose it and get mad. But if you've got charity, they can't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to the world. Charity never fails. It's always going to be. Oh, what a blessing that is. There's the permanence of charity. It'll stand when prophecy becomes history and knowledge is outdated. You'll still have charity all throughout eternity. Then last of all, this morning, there's the procurement of charity. And when you procure something, just talking about how do you get it? So, oh, preacher, I need to have more charity. Well, I confess this morning, I need to have more charity. I want to have more charity. So how could I get some of that? Well, it's a gift. As we study here in the Word of God, that's the context of the whole Scripture. Charity is a gift. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have some charity. We could all stand to have some more charity. You watch enough of the news and you hear enough of this crowd talking. Our whole society, boy, we really need to watch this as the people of God. You better be careful who you listen to all the time. You can listen to conservative news. You can listen to liberal news. And if you listen to that stuff enough, one side will make you hate the other side. Because you begin to see them as an enemy. You begin to see them as somebody that's trying to take something away from you. But as the children of God, we ought to love the world enough, we're trying to give something to them. And it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if somebody's red and yellow, black and white, or whatever the case might be. You be careful what you listen to in all the news and all the talk shows. I was coming home from school one Thursday night. I'm continually trying to find something to listen to. And I got to listening to talk radio, and by the time I got home, I figured out we was all going to die anyway. It's awful. Then have to go, lay down and go to sleep on all that. It's how the world is. See, these people makes a living making one side hate the other side. When it boils down to it, but our compass ought to be dialed in on the Word of God, and we all have some charity in our hearts for everybody. I know these things that's wrong that people's doing, but you ought not to hate them. You hate what somebody does. I hate sin. It destroys people's lives. I see that all the time, but we ought not to hate the sinner. We ought to love them. You either have charity or you don't. If you don't have any charity in your heart, if you don't have any love in your heart, something's wrong. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're not going to hate your brother. Read 1 John. Saved people ought to love the saints. First and foremost, we ought to get along among ourselves. Saved people ought to love sinners. We realize they need the Lord. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to have a saving personal relationship with the one that saved me. I was listening to some of Jerry Clower's stuff this past week. Some of you remember him. He's a good Christian gentleman. I used to listen to him when I was little growing up. He is a Christian, and he'd do comedy, but he would give his testimony in that. And I was listening to some of that, and he's giving his testimony, and he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I've made arrangements that I don't have to go to that awful place called hell. That's pretty good to know you're saved, isn't it? You ought to know that you've made arrangements that you don't have to go to the place called hell. Say, how can I make arrangements that way? You need to be born again. Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The Bible says if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again the third day, and we believe that from our heart, that we can be saved. That's how you make arrangements not to go there. But we ought to love the saints, and we ought to love sinners, but most of all, we ought to love the Savior. Because He first loved us. Say, what do we need? What do we need at church to be more effective in our ministry, to reach more people, to see more people saved? Do we need to put some more money into what we're doing? That's how the world is. That's the first thing they say. We need more money. We need more love. We need to put more effort. You can always put more effort. You can go till you can't go no more. But if you don't have love, you're not going to make a difference. If you and I cannot stand before somebody and see them as a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere, if we can't get some compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and life, then it don't matter how much we spend, and it doesn't matter how much we go. We're worth nothing. Profiteth me nothing. It's what Paul said. Charity. Lord, help me to have more charity in my life. When you're praying that, you know what you're praying? Lord, help me to be more like you are. Help me to be more Christ-like. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Paul said, now about a